wish I had words to say that could in some way express the warmth of your tender love, the thrill of your sweet caress. Love so amazing, so divine, love never changing, rich and rare, defies any words my heart can find. Your love is beyond compare. Roses of fairest bloom, violets of purest hue, the fragrance of sweet perfume, oceans of azure, the radiance of a summer day, white clouds floating on the crystal air, but all pale beside your love is beyond compare, beyond every song that human voices have ever sung, beyond any word that human tongue could higher than the highest, furthest mountain peak, and deeper than the deepest ocean currents flow, more than any human heart can know, purer than the freshest driven snow. And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying sympathy, you dry every tear, ease every care. I worship your majesty, your love is beyond And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged road, companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying
tonight here. We are so thankful that his love is beyond compare, that he loves us so much that he does, and that we are in his hands in these strange days that we live in today. But you know what? He's way bigger than those days, these days, and any days. We have a good God, a faithful God, and he's going to continue to take care of us no matter what it looks like anywhere around us, and he is faithful. So welcome to the program today. On this 29th day of July, we're about to leave this month, and one more good month here of summer, and then it'll start to cooling somewhat in September here in Montana. Anyway, I don't know what it'll do where you're at. Probably be warmer a lot longer, huh, than it will be up here. But we thank you for tuning in. We're going to open up with a little bit of news tonight as we begin the program. All right, so let's look at this. pro-life football coach, Jim Harbaugh, tells the team that if any of you or your wives are considering getting an abortion, my wife and I will raise a baby. Give them to me. Well, that man's making a commitment there, isn't he? To be faithful to his team and to life. Yeah, good for him. Religious freedom win in Canada. That's right. The country dropped all charges against anti-lockdown pastor Arthur Pawlowski. The Canadian Court of Appeals in Alberta, Canada, ruled that the arrest and jailing and fining of this Christian pastor for resisting an inspection of his church by police was illegal. And so he's been let free and cleared of all the charges, from what I understand. So good. Let's pray the Lord for him. Governor Gordon of Wyoming certifies a new law that this Wednesday, this week, abortion is now illegal in Wyoming. That's another state that's saying no to the devil and his desire for human sacrifices, that evil beast of darkness. Amy Grant hospitalized after having a bicycle accident. She not too long ago had open heart surgery. Now she had a bicycle accident. She's in stable condition. That's the report. She was wearing a helmet. She's 61 years old. For those who listened to Amy Grant over the years, now new report just out. Afghanistan now the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. And there's a lot of dangerous places to be, including the United States, but this is way more dangerous. The most dangerous, the report says. And a New York City pastor and his wife, Pastor Lamar Whitehead, was 44 years old, robbed by three armed men, armed bandits during the Sunday morning service of more than $400,000. One report says the bandits stole more than $1 million in jewelry. So I guess this pastor and his wife were wearing a lot of jewelry anyway. But he was forced to get on the ground in front of his pulpit. And they robbed him of a lot. So, and I'm not endorsing that pastor. I think he's an extreme prosperity pastor. But that's still just the news is he's robbed on his Sunday morning service. Yeah, many churches are moving today in a so-called progressive direction, and it's not progressive, it's digressive, if you want my opinion, but saying that the pro-life movement is demonic, that's what they're calling it. And these are, of course, if you look at these churches, they're liberal churches, mainly of the United, the UCC, United Churches, is that what they call them, the United Churches of Christ or something, I forget, but then the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian churches. Yeah, so they're not the spirit-filled churches. They're not the churches that are doing something, going somewhere for the most part. They're just not those churches. But they claim to be churches, and even if they're liberal and watered down and have no salvation in them anymore. Fully vaxxed 20-year-old model loses both legs. This young lady, due to COVID, which she tested positive for after being fully vaxxed. I mean, this girl was fully vaxxed, and that's the people who are getting COVID the most is the people who are fully vaxxed, right? So this woman is fully vaxxed, and her symptoms stated that she had severe pain in her leg. Then she was diagnosed with myocarditis shortly after, and she also developed multiple organ problems, and so they cut her legs off this week. Tragic, isn't it? Yeah, sad for the young lady. But I know that people need to do more on their homework, you know, instead of just go out and take the vax without doing any homework on it. Yeah, it's untested, untried. And, it may be tried in some insidious laboratory, but it's not been tried by the public, yeah. And so they tried it, and they getting it to do maybe what they wanted to do. But Beth Moore praises pro-abortion LGBTQ activist, pro-homosexual activist. That's right, Anthea Butler, for receiving, Beth Moore praises her for receiving the Public Understanding of Religion Award. She is a far-left black woman and a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And Butler, the woman, Butler, the so-called professor, wrote a book, White Evangelical Racism. And Beth Moore is just praising this woman. Well, you got to ask yourself, what's wrong with Beth Moore? I mean, obviously, a lot of things. Catholic high school burst into applause as a drag queen takes the stage during chapel worship service. And the drag queen was the speaker. I watched a little short clip of that. And as the drag queen came in with the almost naked rear end, swinging it around, this man dressed up in drag, walked through all the way up the aisle. They were just all clapping and almost just glorifying this person. This was in New York. And there must have been 500 people in there. It looked like a large crowd. Yeah, large cloud of darkness, yeah, over it, obviously. But the man talked about their work in the LGBTQ drag queen events and things along that subject, something that everybody... Really, if they're interested in that, we got to wonder about them, right? Because it's anti-biblical, anti-Christ, anti-everything that is written in the Word of God. So that's the days we're living in, folks. A lot of things going on, but we have Jesus, and he's going to see us through to the very end. That's for sure, until his return, and he is coming soon, and we all need to be ready. And so we're going to open up in prayer here now as we go into the word time, the time that is most important, where we will share the things of God for you and to help you and minister to you by the Spirit. And yes, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm just the verbalizer, the one who's speaking here tonight. But the Holy Spirit will do the teaching. He will do the speaking as to you and what you need. As I speak, he will speak. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for this opportunity to be together with these folks tonight that are listening live and those who will listen later, of which is the majority, but still I'm glad for those who are listening live tonight and ask that your ministry will minister to them. You'll encourage them, strengthen them, and cause them to be powerful in you, Father, in these last days, Father God. I praise you for that. I praise you for your work in each of our lives, Lord, that you promised to work in us until the day of your return, Father. And we thank you for working in each of us, causing us to be more like you, and Lord, full of the love of God, but also full of the strength of God and the supernatural power of God, Father, in these times, and the delivering power, God, that we can cast out demons and rebuke the powers of darkness and stop the enemy. And, of course, stop them first in our own lives and then in our homes. Then going out from there as communities, families, and states and cities. Yes, we go against the enemy. We rebuke him off this country in Jesus' name. We rebuke the power of the evil ones here in the United States and say, no, devil, you can't have this country. You can't have your way with it. Thank you that Jesus is on the throne and he will have his way. And we praise you for that, Lord God Almighty. We thank you that you will have your way, Father. You will have the last word. Some people think Satan's winning, everything looks bad. But no, you're just looking at the wrong thing. You need to look at Jesus and the Word of God. And then you'll realize that Satan's not winning anything. He's just won his seat to hell, to darkness forever, to be separated from God forever, and to be in, out there in torment forever. That's what he won. He sure hasn't won anything here. He's not going to prevail. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the victory in our own lives, Father, over the powers of darkness. We thank you for deliverance in our lives, Lord, from the demons that would want to so easily take us out and beset us with their darkness and things that they try to work into a person's life, Father. We thank you for victory over them. We thank you for deliverance from them. Thank you for power, Lord, and might against the enemy, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away all our sins, Father, that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. Thank you for the healing power of God that healeth all our diseases, Father. Thank you for that, Lord. You said it in your word, who forgiveth all our iniquity and healeth all our diseases, Father. We thank you for those truths, those mighty truths in the word of God, that we can stand on them, believe in them, and trust in whatever you said, because the Bible says that you're not a man that you should lie to us. You're not one that will lie. You're not one that should lie. You don't lie. Thank you that you don't lie to us. Thank you that you tell us the truth, and we believe you and take you at your word. And those believers who will take you at your word, Lord, they will see the manifestation of your word. Those believers who refuse to, and they doubt, and they walk around in unbelief and cynical and analytical, trying to figure it all out, and they're going to miss out on so much, Lord. But we thank you that we believe. And Lord, the number of us who believe, Lord, we thank you that it's growing, not diminishing. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. We worship you now and cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the time we have now. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. All right, let's get on with the word here now. If you're ready, we're going to get into preparing your mind and heart. That's the title today. I pray you have ears to hear what we're going to say. Because, you know, God wants to protect his people. God wants to keep you from falling into the traps of a devil, of which there are many. And God's protection is real, and the angels of the Lord are real. And they are working on our behalf. You better believe that. If you want to walk in any kind of victory in this time that we're living in, you better believe what Jesus said in his word. And sometimes it seems like, well, each day, several times a day, we face these demonic traps that are set up for us. Sometimes it seems like every hour that we're facing something. But the fact of the matter is, we can overcome these things. We have been given spiritual authority. We've been given spiritual strength if we believe and receive it and walk in it. Can you think of some of the daily traps that maybe you have faced lately? Some people are facing fear in great measure, facing lust in great measure, lying spirits that lying to them or causing them to lie, pride, greed, stealing, thievery, yeah, rebellion, anger, strife in the home, marital strife and discord, and family strife and discord, unforgiveness and hatred, and mental torment, even suicidal, some are. These battles against the saints of God, and then against the whole world, but Satan especially targets those who are born again, those of us who are born again. Let's start reading from Scripture tonight with 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 14. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You know, have you prepared your heart to seek the Lord? Prepare means to fix your heart. Fixing your mind, fixing your heart, fixing your attitude to seek the Lord. See, Christians slip up and slip into sin because they've not fixed themselves not to slip into sin, not to slip into darkness in some area of their life. They have not fixed themselves to seek the Lord. First and foremost, that's what they should be doing, setting themselves to seek the Lord with all their heart. Right? But not all Christians have done that. And this scripture is about Rehoboam, David's grandson. He sought the Lord only 3 years out of his 17 years of reigning as king. He only sought the Lord 3 years out of that. He was a wicked person in many ways. But 2 Chronicles 11, 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong. For 3 years, they walked in the way of David and Solomon. Just 3 years. That's all. See? And so he began to get kind of messed up after that. And doesn't that sound familiar to you, though? You know, during almost 40 years being in the ministry, I've seen hundreds who at one time seemed to genuinely love the Lord Jesus, but they somehow gave it up, somehow turned cold or turned away, turned into darkness. Sometimes they blamed others. Sometimes they were getting unforgiveness and bitterness. Sometimes the world simply lured them away with the lust of the flesh and the lust of other things. That the world is very well known for being able to do that with many, many believers. So why does this happen? Well, there's a number of reasons, but you know, one of the main reasons is because they don't fix their or prepare their hearts. They don't fix their or prepare their minds. They're not ready for the battle. They're not ready for the temptations when they come, because they will come. Believe it, they're going to come. Temptations come to all of us, and we all face the enemy quite often, and we need to be prepared. We need to fix our minds on the Lord. We need to set our hearts on the Lord and our spirits as well, of course. Psalm 57:7. Says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Are you giving him praise? Well, you ought to be. You ought to be giving him a lot of praise. See, David has fixed his heart. This word means firmly in position, stationary, not subject to change. A lot of people, they change with whatever wind they're around, whatever group of people they're around. But no, stationary, not subject to change or variation. Established, that is, he established his heart, he established his mind, and apply. And this psalm was written when David was running for his life from King Saul. And yet he had fixed his heart in God, not to take the kingdom from Saul, but simply to wait and trust God and let God deal with Saul, King Saul. So I got to say to you today, is your mind fixed? Is your heart fixed? Is it stayed on him? See, the problem with the human race is that our minds are so broken. That's right. They're so broken. They're still carrying so much baggage, so many demons, that it's difficult to fix them on God. The mind is a place where demons, you know, call home. And they call the shots and the moves of our lives more times than not. And unfortunately, most Christians don't even realize the depth of the demon problems that they have going on. They just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, why are you that way? And what's causing you to be that way? See, how can this be, though? Well, people were born with inherited generational spirits that work in their parents and their grandparents, and they're working in your life now. And generational spirits that continue to control and operate within people's families, familiar spirits, family line spirits. They have no intentions of letting you go or letting you get closer to Jesus either. If they can do anything about it, they will do whatever they can do to hinder you, block you, stop you, keep you in bondage. That's what they're about, okay? They're about bondage and keeping you in it and keeping their little house there inside of a person and allowing other demons to come in too, okay? Because they sure seem to think the more the merrier, because people have a lot of demons. Never do they just have one demon. That's a fallacy. Never do they all come out at one time either, unless, you know, it was Jesus doing the deliverance back when he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. I imagine it could for him. But normally deliverance is progressive. And so it'll be only through a determined fight that you will consistently overcome these spirits, and instead of them overcoming you, and ruling over your life like they have for so long for so many. Yeah. So when demons do have a grip on a person's life, there's going to be some confusion too. It's like demons, you know, have a grip on the United States right now, and there's a lot of confusion because of, you know, the people that are promoting confusion because they're living in confusion that are in power today. Supposedly, they think they're in power. Demons don't relent easily either. They like to keep their grip where they have a grip. So when demons have a grip, there's going to be that confusion. Like I say, you remain unsure about yourself. Sometimes you may even doubt your salvation or your right standing with God, and a lot of Christians do. I've ministered to many who have doubted their standing with God, doubted that they were right with God, and doubted their salvation. Yeah. Okay. It's sad, but that is true. And many I have prayed for and delivered with them. And some of them got free. Some of them refused to let go of that demon because they, you know, had such a grip on them. So some will want to give up. Some are going to want to quit. Some are going to want to die. Some of them are going to want to commit suicide. But the battles we're in today seem to be increasing in intensity. And the reason is that the ungodly leadership of the country, like I said, when there's confusion at the top up there in the district of criminal, then there's confusion for being released upon the country. And when the ones at the law at the top are pro-LGBTQ, pro-perversion, pro-baby murder, the demons are released on the population in great numbers. Because they've been given a right to be there. Yeah, it's a tragedy how many babies have been lost. But thank God there's been a stand against that. But remember in the Bible when Israel was defeating a pagan king, and the pagan king, what did he do? He offered his son as a human sacrifice to their gods, which are demon gods, fallen angel gods, right? And Satan. You remember that? Suddenly the battle turned in favor of the pagan king and turned against Israel. So what did Israel do? See, demon power had been released. See, that so much that it surprised Israel. Israel was surprised by that. They were not aware, I don't think, of the depth of spiritual conflict that was actually going on there. And so they could have then sought Jehovah God, but instead they retreated. They didn't have to retreat because God was with them, but a lot of demons were suddenly released by the human sacrifice of the king's son. And so today, what do you think is going on when they're offering these babies and fighting to kill these babies? There's demonic powers released. Excuse me. There's a lot of demonic powers, and they don't want to let that stop. They want to keep offering and sacrifice these little ones to Satan. And it's so kind of like those days back then. I mean, the ferocity of the attacks has caught many Christians off guard, attacking the pro-life centers and pro-life counseling centers and pro-life people. And so many different attacks and burning down to their building or burning parts of their buildings down. And yeah, a lot of Christians are caught off guard by this because the pagan king has released his hordes of demons and demonic power against the church of Jesus Christ, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They got to keep their blood coming of the little innocent babies. They got to keep it coming. They don't want any interruption in that. And so, yeah, and so then, you know, Jesus say, hey, we're going to shut down the Roe versus Wade. Yeah. But so we see King David here. See, when he had an opportunity to kill King Saul, he wouldn't touch God's anointed. He said, why? Because David had already fixed his heart, set his heart on what he would and would not do. He set some parameters in his life. So, you know, it's a very important key here that we can see here to avoiding Satan's traps and bondages is to fix your mind and heart and your spirit on what we will and will not do before we ever enter into encounter that temptation of evil, that encounter with darkness. Set your heart, set your mind, set your spirits. Fix them on what you will and won't do. And once you fix your mind and set your mind, you decide you will never cross the line. See? See, there are some lines you just won't cross. There's some things set and that you are not going to compromise on, period. And I wish all Christians would do that. So there are no other options when that temptation comes, and they will come, and those demons do tempt you, and those fallen angels can tempt you. So often Christians have not made strong enough commitments to setting their mind and fixing their mind. Therefore, what do? They give in to temptation too easily. They give in to those demons too easily. They give in when the temptations come, when the little thoughts come into their mind. They give in. But the reason many slip as Christians, they say, some of them, you know, they think, well, I can handle this. Yeah, I'm a good, strong Christian. Oh, well, I got news for you. That could be a form of pride right there. And I'll tell you one thing, without Jesus, we aren't a good, strong Christian, okay? See, anytime a Christian slips into sin, you can just about bank on it that they got out of humbly walking with Jesus, humbly depending on Jesus for each moment of their lives, okay? And they may have got in pride. They thought they'd be okay. They thought they could make it. Okay. I know one thing. Without him, I can do nothing. And you ought to know that, too. If you're going to walk humbly with your God, that's one of the most important things you can know, is without him, you could do nothing, because true humility is simply total and complete dependence on Jesus for every breath of air you breathe and everything else in life, too. It's not crawling in the dirt or over ragged rocks or, you know, walking on fire or something, you know, that some people do, or beating yourself raw for your sin. That's not humility at all. That's ignorance and pridefulness and substitution, trying to substitute your suffering for God's suffering. He suffered on the cross for you. You don't have to suffer for your sins. He paid the penalty. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sin. Yeah, true humility. Dependence on Jesus. The continual knowing that without him, you can't do nothing. Hallelujah. That's true humility. Keeping this truth ever before you, saints. Keep that truth ever before you. Humility has to be forsaken or at least neglected before you fall into temptation. And of course, you know, one can not fully prepare his heart on his own power. Did you know that? You can't fully fix yourself, fix your mind on your own ability, on your own power, because without him, what did the Bible say? Without him, we could do nothing. Remember? So it also says, Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Hallelujah. He hears us. The Lord's ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. His ears are open to our cries. Hallelujah. And when we totally trust and depend on him, but we are humble before him, he prepares or fixes our heart by his strength, his Holy Spirit in us, and we are able to stand, having done all to stand. And so in him, we can make ourselves steadfast against sin and against the darkness and against the demons that are so easily trying to beset us, the sin, like the Bible says, the sin that so easily besets us. Yeah, and this is why some of you get so little deliverance sometimes. You're not fully steadfast against the sin and the demons that are still attached to your life right now. You need to get fully steadfast against them. You need to set a stand against them, set a watch against them. I mean, for example, say the truth is you like being in control, for instance. In fact, you've exercised control for so long, you don't know how not to be in control. So how hard it will be, how hard do you think it'll be for you to get delivered from the spirits of control? Well, why is that, Pastor Kyle? Well, you've yielded to them for so long that they have established a dominant force in your life and a stronghold, and you wouldn't know how to live without them, see? It would be a major event and change to give this controlling family the boot in your life where you would feel empty without them. And that's why some people just don't get delivered from a whole lot of different demons. Because they've entertained these demons, they've given place to these demons for so long, they've allowed them to be there in their lives for so long that they just simply wouldn't feel comfortable living without that presence there. You know, they may not have figured out it's a demon. They may not have figured out that it's not just the way you are. It's something more than that, see? Yeah. Or it could be, a different family. It doesn't have to be control. It could be fear. All your life, it lived out of a measure of some kind of fear in your life. You're tormented with it. Yeah, you just basically make your decisions based on fear. You make your actions are based on fear. You overreact about a lot of things because of the fear in there. And you're doing things that are just unnecessary because the angels of the Lord are camped around about them that trust in the Lord, that fear God, that honor God. The angels of the Lord are camped around about us. But in reality, you're in prison within yourself, fearful of people and people's actions or certain things that could happen and may never happen, but they could happen, you think, in your own mind because the demons of fear tell you that they might happen to you or to your family or your loved ones or family members, children, whatever it may be. These are entrenched thoughts and patterns of your thinking. Thinking's a fear. It's a fear way of thinking, and people have various fearful ways of thinking that dictate to them how they live their lives. That's right. Or maybe it's something different than that. Maybe it's condemnation or guilt that has the stronghold, and you feel so guilty about yourself and the things you've done and the things you're doing, and that you just cannot seem to rise your head above water. I mean, it just is beat down by the guilt and condemnation much of the time of your life. You're just tormented and controlled by the spirit of guilt. I mean, you're in the grips of a lie. Many folks are in many lies, okay? I'm talking about deeply entrenched demons here, folks. I'm talking about deeply entrenched demons. And I'll tell you, there's never just one. And so this is why some people never change. That's right. Some people just never change because they have deeply entrenched demons that they are not able to get free from. Now, this, all things are possible through Jesus, but you're going to have to get out of agreement with these spirits if you're going to start the process of deliverance. As long as you're in agreement with them and they don't even recognize they're there, you're not going to get free from them. See, if a person is deceived by lies, they don't know it. See, they don't know it. All right. I mean, because to be deceived is to not know your own condition, right? To be deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Otherwise, you wouldn't continue to be deceived. At least you wouldn't have to be anyway if you see that, hey, I'm deceived. I didn't see that, but now I see that. And so I will come out of this deception. Or you could choose to just stay there. I know, granted, some people just choose to stay in their deception. They know they're wrong, but they just choose to be there. And it doesn't have to be that way, but nevertheless, that's the way it is because that's what they choose. So they're going to keep their demons in that area. But for a lot of people, I mean, when they're deceived, they don't know they're deceived, except there be a revelation by the Holy Spirit. You continue in deception in whatever areas the lies have been embraced year after year after year, unknowingly. And many Christians have even rejected the revelation and the eye-opening power of the Holy Spirit because the lie is so strong, or the deception is so strongly entrenched and embedded and embraced by the person. I mean, it could be a fear-based lie, even about themselves and how they think that they look to other people. I mean, a lot of people have a wrong view of themselves, which was been given to them by demon spirits, see, and they took the bait and they got themselves in bondage. Or maybe it could be a religious spirit too, you know. It could be a religious spirit that keeps a person from the whole truth and from the liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God, keeps them in religion and bondage to religion, like the Pharisees were in bondage to religious spirits. And it could be a lie about a certain person or a type of people that want to judge wrongly and judge not lest you be judged. Even if you're judging wrongly and don't know you're doing it, you could still be judged for doing that, right? Because ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not protection. A lot of ignorant people are suffering because, you know, they of the things that they're participating in ignorantly. Because ignorance is not protection, okay? Are you going out there, you know, indulging in astrology and reading your horoscope and didn't know it was a sin, didn't know it was opening the doors to demons? You're still going to get the demons. You see what I mean? You're still going to get those demons by opening the door to horoscopes and astrology. And yeah, I didn't know that it was demonic. I didn't know it was something we weren't supposed to be doing as a Christian. I didn't know it. It's like, you know, the roots of karate is in Eastern religion, and people that are involved in that, even though they put the name Christian on it, could be in, you know, opening up some doors there and getting some demons because of the roots of it. I mean, how are you going to put, you know, make it into something Christian when it's not Christian, you know, to start with? How are you going to make it into Christian? Anyway, a lot of people may want to argue that one, but, you know, just study it. Get a little deeper and peel the layers off and find out what that really is coming from. And you realize that spirits can be included there, many spirits. It can be lie about a certain person. I can't stand them because you believe a lie about them. For example, people who speak in tongues. Oh, they all love the devil. They're speaking in tongues all the time. That's the devil. That's a demon. Yeah, well, you just judge them wrongly. Look out. Or people who do deliverance and cast out demons. Or what about preachers in general? Some people just believe all of them are just out there. They don't care about really about me or anybody else. And nobody really cares about me. Or all they care about is they want to take up the money. You know, that's what some people think. The demons have got them in their grips. See? The lies with their demons can be deeply entrenched and hidden so deep that, you know, many Christians, they fail to ever even see the truth in these areas, whatever areas they may be that this person's in bondage to. Yeah, the deceptive spirits have built their stronghold. Their strong men are in place within this person. And the Bible says we're to examine ourselves to see if we're right in the faith. I mean, if we're in the faith or not, to examine ourselves. And we'll read that scripture in a little bit because I want to read it to you. But, you know, when they're deception, you know, when they're in deception and when there is deception, you know, we're going to think that we're okay when we are not okay, okay? How many people think they're okay when they're not okay? How many people do you think there is out there that think they're okay when they're not okay? But see, because of the demon deception within, they don't know. They don't know they're not okay, and they're walking through life, and they're suffering some consequences because, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But you don't have knowledge of demons, and you got some problems that you're dealing with because the demons are there. They're working unopposed, actually, because if you don't know they're there, you're not opposing them. You have to face something and begin to go to war with it if you're going to oppose it. And the demons, through spiritual warfare, can be opposed and effectively removed through deliverance. But if you don't know they're there, how are you ever going to get to war with them, right? And so, yeah, some fail to ever see the truth in whatever area the deceptive spirits have built their place within the people. And so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, when their person is in deception, you know, what can you do for them? If you tell them the truth and they reject it, our view is the right view. Your view is the wrong view. Oh, really? Maybe not. But I know it is. I know it is. You ever had anybody just, you knew they were wrong and you knew that you could help them, but they would not listen. Oh, I know this is right. I know I'm right. I know this is right. Yeah. Have you ever been convinced of something and found out you were wrong? How'd that feel? How did you have a sense about that? Well, how did that go anyway? See, there need to be times of correction to get our thinking and beliefs right and get them set on God, see? To get our minds and our hearts set on God in the correct way. You got to get them right in life, and sometimes to do that, there's going to be deliverance required. But with deliverance, there's likely going to be no, without deliverance, there's likely going to be no change at all, because I've seen people after many years and not seen them, and they still have the same spirits in operation, the same lies on going on with them that they had years ago. They still have those same lies and manifestations that they had years ago. So what's the deal? Well, you know, I hate to say, but you know, a lot of people's problems come out of Catholicism, and there's a whole lot of demonic spirits in Catholicism. And I remember one that was always thinking their husband was going to die any time, and they're having bad dreams, and so it had incubus and succubus spirits, and they'd wake up with actual fingerprints on them, or they were being squeezed by these demons. That's right. I mean, you know, these things are quite real, okay? And they actually had things that picked up their luggage. A thing that did, the sweetest man, they said, out of nowhere came and said to her, how do you think I would, you know, you don't have to be afraid of me. How do you think I would appear? Well, you're an angel that was exiled from heaven, right? And, yeah. And at one time, it's telling me it looked like that you could step into another dimension through looking when she opened her closet door. That's right. A man thing laid on top of her, two hours laying there and wouldn't move. She couldn't move, and she had black and blue marks all over her body. I mean, these things are real. I remember the woman that would just call me to get me to start doing deliverance and binding the spirits because she got all beat up by the demons. They would throw her around the room when I started binding the demons, and that's what she enjoyed. She was perverted in her enjoyment of those things, and they would start throwing her around the room and beating her up, and she would call, and I would do deliverance, and then I realized what was happening. I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. You don't want deliverance. You just want to have those demons manifest. And yeah, demons will manifest. And so they were certainly doing it to her. So yeah, if you're not set on him, you're not prepared. Okay. And I've heard a lot of bizarre stories and talked to a lot of people who had demons and cast out a lot of them too over my years. Okay. But you could fall away if you're not set on him. If you haven't got your spirit, soul, your heart, your mind set on the Lord, fixed on him, you could fall away. There is a falling away coming. There is a falling away that is already happening. And it could be you will slip in the near future when the going gets really rough. It's already been rough, okay? The last 2 years, this COVID scandemic thing, pandemic, I should say, too. I mean, it definitely there was a COVID thing there, and there was sickness there, but the danger came through people getting the shot with all the side effects after getting jabbed. That's so tragic. But anyway, there's a lot of sad things that have happened. A lot of people have been dying, and the numbers have been covered up, and when you don't have all the conveniences, that time coming to you, you've been used to in life in America with all these conveniences coming to America. That's right. The changes going down will startle you, and if your mind and your heart are not fixed, I'm telling you, folks, they will deceive you. They will distract you. They will cause you to stumble or backslide or simply grow cold if you're not fixed on the Lord, if you're not set on the Lord. Hey, if you haven't got your mind set, if you haven't set yourself in Jesus up the way you need to be set up in Jesus and living under the blood of Jesus every day, then look out, because a lot of things are yet to happen. I've read the book of Revelation. How about you? I've read the book of Zechariah. I've read the book of Daniel and a lot of Isaiah as well. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, folks. Okay, and they're going to increase. But, you know, God is going to increase too. So that's the good news that we need to be looking for. We need to be looking for that. Amen. For Jesus to show up. Because Jesus is showing up right now, and Jesus is going to show up a whole lot more. But already, it's a sad thing. There are many who no longer pursue Jesus. What's up with that? Why are there so many that are no longer pursuing Jesus? Why? What's the problem here? Why are so many just not pursuing the Lord here? They probably a lot of them, you know, they got offended, and I know some who have. They got overcritical. They got their heart got hard. That's right. Their heart got hard. They got unforgiving. The lies won in their lives. And they feel Jesus didn't come through for them, so they no longer seek the Lord, and they're in a condition that is not right with the Lord. They no longer listen to the Holy Spirit speaking in the still small voice to them. Satan has used his forces to set up so many Christians to walk away when the circumstances are just right by the work of the fallen ones. How many know the work of the fallen ones is very active right now? And they're causing people to fall away, to compromise. And the Bible says there will be a falling away. There will be a deception. There will be doctrines of demons in the latter days. And there's a lot of doctrines of demons around right now. And no wonder they say the deliverance is a doctrine of demons, because that's the demons that are telling them that, see? Where do you think that where did you get your information from, you know? Where is it coming from? You got to recognize where your so-called beliefs are coming from, because if they're not fully based on the Word of God, and you cannot disprove deliverance from the Word of God. Jesus himself said, in my name you will cast out devils. That's right, and it's the children's bread, he said, right? So, yeah, Satan's setting up a lot of Christians to walk away when the circumstances are just right. And for many, the circumstances have been just right over the last 2 years of this, you know, pandemic that we've been living in. Okay? And some will walk away and some will be deceived, and that will lead them astray, okay? They will be led astray. Others will be overwhelmed and they'll want to just quit. They'll be manipulated into a place where they no longer care, no longer believe. Some will just say, well, it's too hard. I can't do this anymore, and walk away. Some will say, well, I just can't take this anymore, and they'll just retreat into their own world, likely the world controlled by demons. Others are going to believe the promises of God and stand strong, but others are going to believe the promises of the fallen one and become the enemy's best soldiers. Oh, yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? How could someone turn from light to darkness after they've turned from darkness to light? Well, the Bible says the dog returned to his vomit, and the sow that was clean back to wallowing in the mire. That's talking about somebody who's been once born again and then turns away. And the Bible says there's no more offering for sin once you've done that, because you're putting Christ to open shame if you even try to do anything like that. I mean, look out. I mean, that's not a place you want to go. Where will you be found in all of this? Where will you Yeah. Where will you be found in all of this? Do you know? Do you know where you're at right now? Do you have your mind set on the Lord? Do you have it fixed on God right now? Or are you easily swayed? Are you easily manipulated? Do you listen to mainstream media? Do you listen to the lies and let them manipulate you that way? It says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Examine yourself. Are you going to walk in the faith? Are you walking in the faith now? Do you really know yourself today? Do you really know what's in you? Do you really identify who you are? I mean, how much control do your demons really have over you? Have you examined? Have you looked at yourself? How many demons and how much do demons have control in your life? It can surprise you at times. You can say, wow, did that just come out of my mouth? Or, wow, how could I have acted that way? And you're just stricken by it for a few days, and you just go back to those same old ways. No, you've got to examine it. You've got to do something about it. You can't just keep on repeating the same old demon problem over and over again. This is war, saints. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare. And whether you fight back or not, that's up to you. But if you don't fight back, you're going to be overrun by the enemy. How close are you to Jesus right now? Will Jesus find faith in you when he comes back? Have you grown analytical, cold, skeptical, critical of everyone and everything? And, oh, that couldn't be God. God doesn't do that today. Blah, blah, blah. Do you not believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders anymore because you've not seen any in so long? Have you just given up believing that there are any miracles, signs, and wonders? Hey, I see miracles, signs, and wonders every day. Amen. It's a sign and a wonder to just do the ministry of deliverance and see demons get stirred up and come out of people. That's a sign and a wonder. I mean, that's a glorious thing. The miracle is that you get up every morning and you're still breathing, your heart's still beating. That right alone is a miracle. Oh, I don't see it that way. Well, then you see things wrong because, listen, life came from God. That's a miracle. That's a blessing. And we need to appreciate what God's doing in our lives, see? Are you full of unbelief today? Has unbelief just moved into your life? Too many difficulties in your life. Too many difficulties. What am I going to do? Well, what do I do? You fix your mind on him. You set and fix your hearts on Jesus. Remember what God has done in the past. See? Yeah. What did he do in the Word? He can and he will deliver you. He can and he will do things again that he's done in the past. Hey, but you need to fix your not mind. You need to fix your attention. See, a lot of people are just not serious enough about deliverance, and they keep their demons till they die, and that's not good. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews 2:1. Tells us here, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or we should fall away from the things we have heard. In other words, the key to avoid slipping into sin and Satan's trap is to do what? We ought to give the more earnest heed to what we've heard. What have you heard? Have you heard the word tonight? You need to give heed to it. Have you heard the word in your life? You need to give heed to that. Have you read the Bible? You need to give heed to that. See? Otherwise, you could slip, folks. See, how do we give an earnest heed to it? Well, one way is the power of memory. The power of memory is a powerful and vital part of fixing your minds and your hearts on God. The Lord warned Israel not to forget the mighty works that he had done, lest they turn away from following God. And, yeah, they did. They did forget, and they did turn away, if you remember the stories of the Old Testament. But look what it says in Deuteronomy 6:12. It tells us here that then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. See? And what did they do? They forgot. Look at verse 10. It says, and it shall be when the Lord God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly, goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things thou fillest not, and wells big which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. See, we put the whole thing together. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. Listen, don't forget. Oh, I got a new boat. Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen you in church for a long time. Now we know why. Been out there on the lake every Sunday. See, here God linked memory to staying true to him, to staying the course. Are you staying your course? Are you going to be able to say like Paul, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, I have finished my course? Are you going to be able to say that? See, memory is a force that we often forget. I'm telling you, it's a powerful force that we need to put into action in our lives. Huh? Hey, it's even in the New Testament. Look over at 2 Peter 1. Let's go over there. 2 Peter chapter 1 and read verse 12 and 13. And we see this force in action here, you know, but these are as natural brute beat. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1, 12 and 13. I'm sorry. It is 2 Peter, but it's chapter 1, not chapter 2. That's right. Here we go. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, or stirring up your memory. Right? See, what do we remember? Do you remember your salvation, the time you got saved? Do you remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you got baptized and the Holy Spirit began speaking in tongues? Do you remember your deliverance? Do you remember how Jesus loved you? Do you remember what God has saved you from? Do you remember his promises to you? Do you remember the miracles you've had in your life? Do you remember? I mean, do you remember God's grace, his forgiveness, his protection? Where we would be if he had not saved us? Oh my. Thank God for salvation. What about some of his great miracles when he first saved you? Oh man. I know I saw many when he first saved me, and I've seen him since too, of course, but still, I remember those things. Oh yeah. Answered prayers. You remember any of those? If you start doing this, you're going to get stirred up, folks. You start putting yourself in midst of these things, in remembrance of them. God's goodness to you. He says, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in memory. Man, what a secret weapon against Satan and sin. Our memory is a secret weapon. Our memory is a weapon against the enemy. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Not once in a while remember, but have them always in your remembrance. Always keep the words in memory. Keep the word of God in your memory. Memorize some of it. Oh, how blessed is our memory, folks. God gave us a memory for a reason. I mean, what do people have after something is over? You get all excited and you're going to this big event and you go to the event and it's over, right? And just an hour, two or three, it's over. And what do you have? It's over. You have a memory, right? You have a memory. You have memories of it. Folks, there is a force, there is a power in memory that has hardly been tapped in Christendom. It's hardly even been tapped in Christendom. And yet here we see Peter speaking that, hey, put yourself in memory. Put yourself in remembrance. There's power there. There's power. And you need to put yourself in that power zone. where God could do mighty things in your life, where you can walk through the present battle because of the, what he's done in the past. I know he's going to do it again. Right? That song that was on the first not too long ago, he'll do it again, and he does do it again. Yeah. It's a Christian song. I don't listen to unbelieving songs, but not a worldly song, okay? Yeah, if you're still hanging on to those old worldly CDs, maybe it's time you let go of some of those, huh? All of them. But some of you need to make some new godly memories so you'll have some to hold on to, right? I'm talking about living in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You tap into this with your memories, and that's not memory lane, that's powerful lane. I mean, that's powerhouse lane. I mean, glory lane. And it brings forth new things to come through. I tell you, new memories of Jesus are going to be made. So we need to fix our mind. We need to fix our heart and our spirit, trusting in God. Have you gotten your mind and heart fixed on him now? Are you ready to walk that way, think that way, talk that way? See? Are you ready to walk in pleasing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Jesus said we're kings and priests, right? But not all of God's priests are faithful priests, are they? They're not faithful and true to him. Some of them, you know, they've wandered from the way. They've wandered away from being kings and priests. They've forgotten that they're kings and priests. They've let their memory slip, see? They aren't putting themselves in remembrance of who they are, and therefore they're not walking as who they are anymore, and things are having, you know, heyday in their lives. There's problems there. 1 Samuel 2:35, let's read. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and I will... And he will walk before mine anointed forever. See, God is looking for a priest who will know what is God's heart, what is on God's heart, and what is on his mind right now. And God chose his people, those who are, you know, willing to listen. And if we are to be faithful priests to God, we're going to have to know God's agenda and be actively involved in God's agenda continually. Okay? And to do this, we're going to have to learn to draw and live our life from him instead of living for God. Are you living your Christian life for God? If you are, you're failing at it. That's for sure. If you live for God, you're doing it. But if you live from God, he's doing it. He's doing it. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that live. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's not me doing it. If I'm living for God, it's me trying to do it. And I can't do it. I'll just keep falling on my face. But hey, I'm living from God, from his anointing, from his power, from his Holy Spirit, from his grace, from his mercy, from his love. Amen. You get that? As this age draws to an end, the Lord's heart, plan, and purposes are going to become more and more well known to those who seek to know him and really know him and live from him with all their hearts. See, they're going to know what God's plans are. They're going to know what his purpose is. They're going to know the times of the season. Things are not going to catch us by surprise. See, half-heartedly living Christians are never going to know the heart of God on this earth. They may go to be with Jesus. They may be saved, but they're not going to know all the deep things of the Lord. And they'll always live a measure of confusion because they just are just half-hearted. They're not going all the way with the Lord. They're one foot in the world, one foot in Jesus, one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world. That's a painful place to be, a treacherous place to be. See, if I were going to please the king, if we are going to please the king, not just I, but if we're going to please the king, we need to focus on the interest of the king and not our own interest. So how can we as believers know, how can we as believers know what is on his heart and on his mind? I want to give you some things, so that we can do that. Number one, we must act on the commands and the directions of the Lord rather than from a human compassion or out of perceived words. Let me explain that to you because, you know, Jesus is an example of that. Jesus did act on compassion, but he only acted on it when he saw what the Father was doing. See, When we're directed by the Lord, then we can be moved with compassion. We can act upon it. But just to act, just to be acting from it, and we don't have anything from the Lord on it, and we haven't seen the Lord do it. Hey, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He only did what the Father did, right? John 11:6, he says here, that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that, he said to his disciple, let us go to Judea again. Right. So what happened there? Well, Jesus loved Lazarus, heard he was sick, but he still didn't do anything. He's not led by compassion and immediately runs, you know, there. He was led by what he saw the Father doing. What he says in the scripture, he did what he saw the Father doing. So how did he see what the Father was doing? The Holy Spirit, right? He was led. And the power of God accompanies the Holy Spirit and the Word, not human compassion, okay? We need to be moved with godly compassion. We need to be moved with the Holy Spirit compassion when he directs it. But just for us to just move with human compassion, and God is not moving that direction. God's not doing that. Sometimes we just act on our own, and that's not necessarily the best thing. And I realize sometimes you aren't going to hear, do this, do that, do that, do this. But you will have a leading in your spirit. You'll have a check about things if you're not supposed to do it. And the next thing is to know his heart and mind. We're going to have to live each day with a sense of expectation rather than experimentation. It's not an experiment, okay? Life is not an experiment. Jesus isn't experimenting with us and experimenting on people to see if he could discover, you know, what God would do in them or what he could do with them. No, we don't experiment with a bunch of formulas and laws to see whether God will move. No, we live by faith and expectation that God will do what he said he would do. Simply because he said he would do it. That's why. We are living in expectation of a manifestation of God, folks. True receiving from God comes from a daily walking from and out of our relationship and being in Christ, right? That's right. And so we need to recognize that in our walk as we fight these end time battles. We need to remember the Bible says we'll hear a word behind us. This is the way. Walk ye in it, right? 1 John 1:47. Said Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How'd you know that about me? In other words, Jesus answered, said, Before that Philip called thee, when thou were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he says unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. See, Jesus put the expectation in this disciple. He didn't want him to be limited to by this one thing, in other words. And so next, to know his heart and mind and his agenda, our focus is going to have to be in our knowledge of him, not in our knowledge of the problem. So many people are focused on the problem, focused on the demon, focused on what the devil's doing, what the devil's doing in the world, how he's messing everything up. That's the big focus for many Christians today. That's the big focus for many people who are preparing for end times. They're just focused on the latest anything that's going on, but they're not focused on, you know, Jesus and what he's doing. They don't hear his voice. They don't listen to his voice. They're just focused on the latest end-time prophecy, the latest end-time something or another, see? Hey, what about the knowledge of Jesus and what he's saying? That's far greater than the problem that you're looking at, the problem that you're facing in your life, the problem of our future. God has promised that the righteous are not going to be begging bread, and the seed of the righteous will not be begging bread. God's going to provide for us, okay? If he provides for the sparrows, he's going to provide for us because he said you are of much more value than many sparrows, right? So too many are exalting the problems with their words and their focus today. What are you focusing on? See, if you focus on the problem too much, you're going to be ended up focusing on a demon because how many know what's causing the problem is usually a demon. And so you're spending your time focusing on a demon. What are you doing? You're opening a door to a demon if you're focusing on the demon all the time. You got to focus on Jesus and then see the demon there and get delivered from the demon if necessary. Get delivered from it, or if it's a problem out there, rebuke it, right? Or pray against it, or do something, stand in spiritual battle against it. Too many Christians have too much energy on the problems. And we need to have our energy on Jesus, our focus on Jesus. We need to set our mind on him, set our heart on him, focus on him. Amen. Fix our mind on Jesus. Fix our mind. You know, knowing the problem does not bring freedom. But, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? Knowing the knowledge of God and using it does bring deliverance and freedom from the problem. Can overcome the problem through, you know, knowing the truth and walking in the truth. Those who know the truth shall be set free by the truth. But if you don't know the truth, you're not going to be set free from by knowing the truth. See? And next, we must resist the desire to replace inactivity with our own activity. I mean, I know a lot of Christians just let demons lead them around, doing all these different activities, always keeping them busy, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. But you know what? They're not the activities that the Lord would have them be doing. They're not the things of God. They're being, in essence, led about by demons. You know, they're people that just, Christians, love the Lord, but they're being led about by demons in their activities because they don't be still and know that I'm God. They don't sit in his presence and hear the still small voice of God. They're not in the word enough to know that they're being just drug around by these demons in their own activity, trying to replace God's activity. See? Amen. See, you don't always have to be doing something. That's right. The desire to do something for God can actually distract you from doing the thing that he called you to do in the first place. And it could distract you from drawing on the strength of heaven, folks. Drawing on the strength of heaven. Never forget this woman. She, you know, she wanted to come in for deliverance, get deliverance, us to fix everything. She's the opposite. She wouldn't do anything at all. She wanted us to do everything. And I said, but sister, you have to fight. You have to resist the devil. You have to engage the enemy. And she didn't want to do it. She just wanted to come to us and let us do all the spiritual warfare and everything and then fix her and she could go on back home and not have to do anything. Well, that's not right either. I mean, no activity. You know, with the just shall walk by faith. What does walking mean? It does mean movement. But there's a time where just to sit in the quiet, that's the movement of faith right there, sitting in the quiet. Sitting in the quiet before God and getting his presence. But this woman didn't want to do anything. You know, she just wanted all to be done. But hey, if you don't resist the devil, I mean, no, he doesn't flee. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. Otherwise, if you don't resist him, he's hanging around, man. And he's hanging around a lot of Christians. He's just hanging around because they don't do any resistance. They don't do any spiritual warfare. They don't engage the enemy and run him off. Yeah. You know, it has been said, though, that God does not appreciate what he does not initiate. And I would agree with that statement. I didn't make that one up, but I heard it, and I wanted to use it because there's a lot of truth in that. See, inactivity doesn't mean we're missing out or missing God. You know, many times during those times of inactivity, when Jesus shows up in his way and his plan and his purposes, and he prepares us for his activity, which will be Jesus doing it through us because we're living from him, not for him, right? And we're going to see the move of God in our lives. See, God is never late. You know, you always think, well, where is God? Where is God? Why isn't Jesus showing up? Why am I not yet delivered? You know, you may be all worried that you're going to miss out on God, miss out on what he's doing. Hey, he's always on time at the right time. You just keep your heart set on him. You keep your mind set on him and wait on him. Wait on him, wait on him, wait on him. Let me give you one more scripture tonight as we're going to close this out and do some deliverance here in a minute. Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. That's right. Hey, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? It's a God statement. What is God's heart? What is God's agenda for you? Jesus is God's agenda. And when Jesus is truly lifted up, we will be allowed to do the things that draw people to us and to Jesus mainly, because they will not draw people to us. They're not going to be drawn to us. They're going to be drawn to Jesus, right? Or the signs and the wonders either, but they'll actually be, the signs and wonders will draw them to Jesus. And that's the most important thing. The people, the glorification of Jesus, that Jesus be glorified. Jesus, and we don't take the glory. We give it all to him. Jesus be, that becomes our agenda, that Jesus be lifted up. Jesus be glorified. And the miraculous and the supernatural do occur. Deliverance does occur. So set your minds and hearts on him today. Set them where they belong and quit just focusing on the problem. Oh, I got all these problems. I'm so messed up. I got all these demons. Yeah, you got all these demons. Everybody has demons. How many know that there's a lot of demons in a lot of Christians? In fact, every Christian I've ever met has had demons. I've never met any that hasn't had any demons. And instead of just one demon behind every doorknob, and they mock you for that, when you're a deliverance minister, they mock you. Oh, you see a demon behind every doorknob. Well, you know what? I don't see a demon behind every doorknob. I see multitudes of demons behind every doorknob, right? Because they're there, folks. I mean, the demons are there, sure. But you know what? I'm not exalting the demons. I'm exalting Jesus. If you want to be delivered, you need to not exalt your demons. You need to exalt Jesus. You need to lift Jesus up. You need to exalt him. And hey, when God arises, what happens? His enemies are scattered. Isn't that what the scripture says? Let God arise. Let God arise, and his enemies would be scattered. We need to let God arise in our lives. We need to let Jesus, the deliverer, arise in our lives. And then the enemies get scattered. But, you know, when the devil's arising, when the world's arising, what are we seeing? We're seeing a manifestation of darkness. We're seeing a manifestation of devil, demonic stronghold in our lives, because we've been letting darkness arise instead of Jesus, letting God arise. We've been letting devils arise, and that doesn't work, folks. I'm telling you, it's not a manifestation of the Lord when we allow that to take place. We get a manifestation of devil. See, that's why I'm saying, you know, the tendency of many people right now is to focus on the bad, and the bad is there. But I'm telling you, if you don't focus on Jesus, okay, your primary focus, you can be aware of the bad. You can be aware of the demons. You got to expose them. You know, we're not going to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I'm not saying that, okay? We're not saying that. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know they're there. We know what they're up to. But the thing is, I'm not exalting that. And some Christians I've ministered to, all they would do is exalt the demon and how powerful that the demon is. They're, oh, I got all these demons. Oh, there's one woman, every night she would wake up the next morning with scars on her body from what the demon did to her, you know? They just pinch her and black and bruise her black and blue every night, and she'd wake up with these bruises on her body, and she would just tell me about that, and oh, how bad, how powerful these demons are. They're so strong. Okay, well, you know, you want to exalt the demons, you know, that's what you're doing here. Let's exalt Jesus. How about Jesus? He's bigger than those demons. If you'll believe that. But see, when you get yourself in a mindset like that, you got the demons exalted in your mindset, and you set in a way that is setting your mind in a way that it's not supposed to be set, see. You're setting it in an exalted demon manner, see. And God never told us to exalt demons. He said to exalt me. God, in other words, to exalt himself. Never told us you to exalt these demon entities. After all, they're just created beings, and they fell into darkness. They followed Satan, and now they're doomed to eternity of darkness and torment and misery, because they're eternally separated from Father God. Because, hey, so why would you want to exalt them? Why would you want to lift up Satan in any way, shape, or form? We're aware, but we're not lifting him up. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you here tonight. That's why we need to set our minds on him, set our hearts on him, set our spirits on Jesus. We need to prepare ourselves to walk in these latter days in the way that God tells us to prepare. Put yourself in remembrance of the things that he's already done. See, I can think back of all the times he delivered me. You know, I remember the spirit of rejection coming out of me. I yawned real big, and the Lord opened my eyes, and I saw that spirit coming out as a big wormy thing, big old thing. Like, I was yawning so big, it looked like a big, fat, wormy thing as it came out. And I used to tell my wife, you don't really love me. But after that spirit gone, I could believe my wife loved me. I could believe other people loved me. I could receive love, and that spirit of rejection blocked me. See, I put myself in remembrance of that and what he's done for me. See, I put myself in remembrance of some other demons that had come out and had manifested in a way that I saw and realized that they're not there in my life anymore. See, and I can think of other people and saw them many times, like we cast the demons out of this one person, his body contorted and went off the floor, lifted up off the floor in a way that a body could not do, you know, in the natural, could not lift up that way. But see, hey, deliverance, the power of God was in manifestation. Another one, when a man went up the wall in my office, up backward up the wall as the demons were manifesting and coming out. But I'm not exalting the demon. I'm exalting that God delivered these people. God set these people free. But I put myself in remembrance of these things. We know they're real. And we know that the devils are real. And a lot of people think it's some fantasy thing or something on TV or some movie thing. But it's real that we're dealing with real devils in a real demonic spiritual world. And that are attached to real bodies, real minds. The real soul of man, not the spirit. They can't get in your spirit because you're born again. You're a born-again Christian. They can't get in your spirit. You cannot be fully possessed of a devil. You can only have them attached to your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, right? And the heart is the connection between the soul and the heart and the spirit, okay? And so, yeah, and the body, of course, get loaded with demons. I mean, if we didn't have any demons in our bodies ever, then we'd never get sick, would we? But yeah, they attack our body with symptoms and temptations to sickness and disease. We've got to rebuke those symptoms when they come. And maybe you won't get sick, right? Because, hey, you rebuke them when they tempted you. See, sickness can be a temptation too. A lot of people don't know that today, but sickness is a temptation many times to get sick. And you're tempted maybe many times. And the more times you give in, the stronger the hold of the enemy will be given in the sickness of making you sick. So this is spiritual warfare. Father knows, you know, and he wants us to know that we're engaged in a very intense spiritual conflict here. And we've been given the authority, though, over these things because, hey, Jesus went to the cross, went into hell, made a public show over Satan, triumphing over him, and gave us the authority, gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, restored to us the power of the glory of the Eden and the pre-Adamic, I mean, not the pre-Adamic, but Eden and what Adam had in the beginning. He had authority over the earth and over the things upon the earth and over everything that crawled or creeped, or, you know, demons, they crawl, they creep. I think, remember, went down in the basement of one house we were living in, and these little demon things went scurrying everywhere. And I said, uh-oh, we got to clean house here. There are demons all over this place. We were renting that place and went into the basement. I said, uh-oh, and we saw those things scurrying around down there. And it wasn't rats either. It was demonic creatures going here and there. And, yeah, they didn't like us because they knew that we knew the power of God. We knew about deliverance, and we were going to go to war on them. But, hey, I tell you, you need to anoint your place with oil, and sometimes you don't just anoint it one time. You may need to anoint it a dozen times, you know. I just anointed again Monday, I think I anointed again with oil. And hey, however many times you need to, because we're in a spiritual conflict, and there is so much power that I have seen take place when you anoint things with oil and you anoint in the name of the Lord and go through your homes and your property and even your vehicles, anoint them with oil and anoint your washing machine, your dryer with oil. They'll last longer. They'll be blessed. And hey, amen. There's power, folks. And we need to major on Jesus and what we are and who we are in him and where we came from and where we're going to. Amen. That's what I tell people. Quit majoring on the demons. I mean, there's always something to see there. They're always doing some evil work. Look at what they're doing in the country right now. We know about it. We're aware of it. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we're going to expose the enemy. But I'm just exalting Jesus. Amen? Let's exalt Jesus. That's what counts right now. We lift him up. If I'd be lifted up, and he was, I would draw all men unto me. Yeah, those who are willing will come and eat of the good, right, of God. But those who are not willing, they reject him. There's nothing for them except looking forward to damnation, eternal damnation and separation from God. That's sad. So if you haven't had Jesus in your heart right now, you need to have Jesus in your heart. Don't wait another moment. Say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe you're God. And I believe on you. I ask you to forgive me and wash my sins away right now with the blood of Jesus. And I give you my life right now. From this moment forward, I'm yours. Do what you want with me. Just pray that simple prayer with him right now and ask him to come into your heart and live in you and set up his house in you. Amen, amen, amen. This power, folks, we're talking about a powerful God. We're not going to be outdone by some leftist people that are walking in the power of the dark master, Satan. He's not going to be outdone by the devil. You folks, come on, think about it. These people think they're winning something. They're losing, and they're losers going somewhere to lose, right? And yeah, even though Satan gets away with some things, seemingly, he really isn't getting away with it, nor are the people. Nobody's getting away with anything. And when they think they are, they're self-deceived, right? Amen, amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior, a living God, a God that is more powerful than all the power of darkness, that demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. When we command demons to come out, they have to come out. We glorify your name. We lift you up. We exalt you today. And we set our mind. We set our heart. Lord, we fix them on you, Lord, and we fix them with you, and by your power, we fix our minds and fix them by the power of God, so where they're no longer broken by darkness and demons. Thank you for that kind of fixing as well, Father, as well as the setting fixing and the preparing fixing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these powerful things, Lord, that you're doing in our lives right now, and we thank you that we're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And we will just continue to worship you, continue to exalt you, and know that our God is a mighty God, and he is for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. We glorify your name. Amen. All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll do some deliverance for the remainder of the program. Yes, it is. But we win in Jesus. Amen. Listen, let's start out with this. I tell you, some people got to deal with this in their life. It's unforgiveness. I mean, maybe you're angry at all the stuff that's been going on, and maybe you need to forgive these ungodly people that are leftists and deceived people that are doing all this wicked stuff in the land, and maybe you just really have some hatred going on there. Maybe you have some unforgiveness toward these people. Maybe you have some unforgiveness toward someone else. I don't know. But let's just open up with this prayer. Just say, I confess to you that I have held unforgiveness. Just say that. I confess to you, Lord, I've held unforgiveness. I confess my sin of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment against certain people. Right? Maybe leftists, you can name those people right now. I don't know who it is, but just say, I recognize this is sin, and I thank you for forgiving me for it. And I forgive these people who have disappointed me, let me down, done evil, whatever it may be, and whoever the Holy Spirit just brings to your remembrance right now. Okay? I forgive all those people in Jesus' name. And if any more come to my mind, I'll forgive them too, right? Amen. And I forgive myself for all my failures and faults. Okay? So don't hold anything against yourself and then say, I forgive you, Lord. That's right. Even though he hadn't done anything wrong. Some people blaming God, okay? But just forgive him, okay? All right. And now we command that spirit of unforgiveness to come out in the name of Jesus right now. Spirit of unforgiveness, come out, 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 come out. We come against the spirit of unforgiveness right now. We come against that spirit that made you angry at these people, that anger, that rage within, that you come out of there, that hot temper, come out, come out, come out, even violent temper, come out, the rage, come out, the pressure cooker, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the anger at these people or this person, whoever it may be, all that anger, come out of there in the name of Jesus right now, all that anger, along with the unforgiveness, come out, all that unforgiveness, you come out too. All that unforgiving spirit, come out, 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 come out. Listen, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Look out, some people are going to have a hurting by God, that's for sure. Oh my, you don't want to face the wrath of God. These people are going to face the wrath of God if they don't repent, if they don't get born again and turn to Jesus, turn to the Father. They're going to face the wrath of God. I thank God that he said, we're not appointed unto wrath. That's not about the rapture. That's about that we're not going to be appointed to the wrath of God when he starts pouring his wrath out on the wicked. It's not coming on us, just like it didn't come on Egypt, right? When the plagues came on Egypt, it didn't come on the house of God. It didn't come on the people of God. And we got the seal of God. Just like they had a seal of protection on them, that it didn't happen to them when it was happened to the Egyptians. Okay, keep coming out, all that anger. So your anger is not necessary. You let God be angry with as far as, one of the whole anger and being a condition. There is a righteous anger. I'm not talking about that, but the holding anger is dangerous for you. See? So, and it can be a spirit that is keeping you in bondage to being, just turning red, where you boil, your blood boils with anger. That's not the righteous anger. The righteous anger was Jesus walking through the temple and cleaning the temple out, right? When the temple had stuff in it that shouldn't have been in it. Money changers and greedy people in there just profaning the temple of God, right? Anyway, you understand what I'm saying, I hope. All right, keep coming out of there. All any hatred that's come in through this whole thing, you come out right now. Any hatred that's come in, you come out too. Come out, come on. Cough them out, breathe them out, let them go. All the way out. All hatred, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. They come out through the breath, the sighing, the burping, the yawning, the spitting, the coughing. Let them go. All the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of hatred, Spirit of self-hatred, come out, 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 all the way out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus against these demons. Come out, 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 out. Let them go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Spirit of insomnia. Can't sleep at night. We come against that spirit. Not getting a good rest at night. Not able to get a good rest. Come out. All that insomnia. Staying up at night. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. All that insomnia. Come out. Sleeplessness. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. Now you come out of there. All the way out. All that insomnia, come out. All that sleepless spirit, come out, 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 all the way out, come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 move, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, in Jesus' name, keep moving out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out of there. Go. Oh, all the way. Go, 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 all the way out. Any spirit of self-exposure. I remember this one brother in the Lord. He said, I like to moon people. Even as a Christian, mooning people, they had a demon, okay? So we command that spirit of self-exposure to come out right now. So if you've ever done anything like that, just because you became a Christian doesn't mean the spirit left. The spirit just stay there until they're cast out, even though you get born again. They're just none in your spirit anymore. They leave your spirit. They're not allowed to live with the Holy Spirit of living, which is your born-again spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit, right? So come out of there right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of exposure, self-exposure, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, all the way out. All that uncleanness, sexual uncleanness, come out. Sexual uncleanness, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, 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 out of there. In the name of Jesus, right now, let it go. Come on, let it go. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Cough a few times. Get them moving. Come out, all the way out. All the way out. That sexual uncleanness, sexual perversion. Come on, all the way out. All that mooning spirit. So exposing your body in Jesus' name, come out, doing weird things with your body, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I know some people have had to go to the hospital for doing weird things with their body, you know, sexual weird things that were not healthy for them. Yeah, come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Jesus thinks because they hurt themselves doing some of that stuff. Come out, 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 come out of there. All the way out. Go, go, go. All the way out. Come out. Stealing, kleptomania, you come out. Spirit of thievery, stealing things. Come out. Or wanting to steal something. You restrain yourself maybe, but that kleptomania spirit is there. Come out. Come on. All the way out. That kleptomaniac spirit. Come out. Come out. Stealing stuff. Wanting to steal stuff. Take what doesn't belong to you. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Go. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. If you've ever been in agreement with abortion, we command that spirit of abortion to come out. Even if you were in agreement with it and you got saved and you're not in agreement with it now, if you've ever been in agreement with abortion, you pick up that spirit. Now come out of there. All that abortion spirit, come out. Spirit of murder, spirit of abortion, we break the curses over you. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out of there right now. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of abortion, come out. Spirit of murder, come out. Come on. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. all the way out, all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. You come out in the name of the King of Kings, Jesus the King, Jesus the Christ. Come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name. All that spirit of fear of starving, so you just overeat because there's a fear of starvation, a fear that you're not going to have enough food, a fear of starving. Come out in Jesus' name. The craving for food where you overeat all the time. Come out, that craving. Come out. Come out. Her craving of sugar, craving of chocolate, craving of something that you put in your body. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out. Come out. Come, all that craving, all that fear of starvation, so you just eat. And I know some people like that. They were just, were left alone as children. And they just didn't have any food, and they just got to where they craved food because they many times went without food, and they would just eat and stash food and hide it because they just did not have it when they were little, and their parents were druggies on meth and high all the time, and they didn't take care of them, and so they went many years like that, and so they were just craving food. I mean, they would hide it, they would hoard it, they would eat it and eat way more than they should. And anyway, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. And we've done deliverance on them, yeah, by the way, too. So praise God. And I'll never tell you who these people are. I'm just using an example so you understand some things to help and explaining. And doing deliverance here. Come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out, all the way out. All that craving, all that overeating spirit, the craving of food and hoarding food. Come out, and I'm not saying don't have a food supply, especially with the way prices are going and the way the shortages are coming. That's not what I'm saying. You understand what I'm talking about. Keep coming out. And go, food idolatry. Some people idolize food and make an idol out of food. Come out, and yeah, we have to eat to live, but we don't have to live to eat, okay? That's the proper way, okay? Keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Keep going, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name, come all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, demons, right now. Angels, sword these demons right now. Sword them, and we just command them to go. Caffeine addiction, come out. Caffeine addiction, go, 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 go. Come out, all that caffeine addiction. Addiction to caffeine, bondage to caffeine. Got to have 5 cups of coffee a day, 2 cups of coffee a day, whatever. Got to have my caffeine. I can't live without it. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. We just break this accident spirit. I mean, know that some places you go, there are more accidents that take place than at other places, okay, because there are demons of accident there. So we come against any accident spirit that you may be carrying or that you may have picked up somewhere. We break the curses of those accident spirits, and we command them to come out of you right now. Come out, come out, come out. Those accident-prone spirits, accident-causing accident spirits, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Spirits cause people to have accidents. You understand? They just don't happen for no reason. So you've got to take authority over the accident thing. You know, sometimes they'll catch you by surprise and you would have already hurt yourself or done something that you didn't. Just where did that come from? That should not have happened. And it makes me righteously angry when it does, because I recognize that, you know, the enemy tried to pull one, and we just rebuke those accident spirits in Jesus' name and say, you can't have us. You can't have our bodies. You can't do these accidents on our bodies. They belong to the living God. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, you go, you accident spirits, accident-prone spirits, You go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. You accident curses like the brother that got hurt. And then I would hire Christians for my crew when I was working for a certain company years ago, and we would fix things in different homes to take care of things out of court for the company. And, the guy that says, well, I can't even work through a day. This one was a non-Christian. I'm thinking of two different ones. One was a Christian, one wasn't. But this one says, I can't even work through my first day that something bad doesn't happen to me. And sure enough, before the day was out, he rammed a 12-inch spike up his arm, and I had to take him to the doctor, right? And another thing happened too. To a Christian guy, I think it was a different guy, was one of the hammers that we put those 12-inch spikes in, fell off the ladder, and a guy was under the ladder, hit him on his head, and it didn't hurt him. We prayed over him, I think, if I remember right, and then he didn't get hurt. But yeah, they should be having these accidents in the first place. But see, demons were manifesting. And I remember the one home we went into, they had rattlesnakes everywhere. See, snakes all over the house. They were just loving rattlesnakes, and they had live ones and dead ones and stuffed ones and all kinds of rattlesnakes. That place was crawling with devils, okay? We could feel them in that place, okay? I don't know, maybe some Christian think it's okay to have snakes, but I don't like snakes, and a representative of a devil, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want snakes. If you like snakes, that's between you and God, but I'm telling you, I don't. And I rebuke those spirits in Jesus' name. Snake spirits, accident spirits, you come out of people right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, loose them and loose them and loose them and let them go. Loose them and loose them and loose them and let them go. Go, go. Fear of snakes, fear of spiders too. Fear of bugs, come out. Come out, come out. And fear of having an accident, you come out too. Fear of having an accident, come out, come out. Some people live in perpetual fear of having an accident, and that attracts those spirits to them. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear of accidents, fear of having accidents, come out, 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 all the way out. Fear of accidents, come out. We break the power of that fear of accidents in Jesus' name. You come out of there, come out of there, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Claustrophobia, fear of confined places, come out, come out. Fear of being confined, you come out. All that claustrophobia, being in a tiny place and you can't handle it, come out. That's a demon that is manifesting and freaking you out. You come out of there in the name of Jesus. I bind you, I break the curse over you. Maybe it was an inherited family line spirit that you picked up. Come out, 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 all that claustrophobia. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. We come against the attempted murder by demons. The demons attempting to kill you. In other words, I remember when I wasn't a Christian, but I went to somebody's door one time, and They were drug dealers or something, and they pulled a shotgun on me. They was ready to shoot me, and that was years before I became a Christian, but that was a couple years, I guess, before I became a Christian, and the devil couldn't kill me. Thank God he protected me even before I was a Christian. So maybe the enemy's trying to kill you. That we come against that death attack, the attacks of death, the attacks of murder, being murdered by the devil one way or another. We come against that spirit, murdered by the devil. You come out in Jesus' name. You're not going to kill my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All that spirit that's trying to kill you, we command it to come out of you right now. In Jesus' name, spirits of death and spirits of attempted murder, attempting to kill you, some demon is attempting to do that through somebody or through some accident or something. You go in the name of Jesus. We break the power of that spirit right now. You go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come all the way out in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to seal this deliverance to the people who received these deliverances tonight. And we've run out of time, Lord, tonight to continue this. But I'm certainly sensing the anointing to do deliverance tonight. But, Lord, we thank you for sealing this deliverance to the people who have received, and that they will continue to come out throughout the evening. They've been called out. They have to go if the person really wants them out, and they believe that they have to go, and they're walking in faith about deliverance. Because, you know, in deliverance, people just have to believe, too, just like anything else that they get from God. They have to believe. They have to have faith to be delivered. They have to believe that they're going to be delivered when the demons are cast out, right? Amen. Amen. So we believe that you're being delivered, and I hope you believe, too. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to say thank you to those of you who pray for us and those of you who support us financially. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. And the Lord bless you for your prayers and for your giving. And you are in my prayer. We pray for the people that first that support the program that we know of, and then those we don't know. We pray for them too. And those that listen that we do know that they listen, we pray for them as well. So Lord bless you, and thank you for being here tonight. And we hope that you really got blessed and got something out of this program and out of this service, I should say, this church on Bible Talk Radio service, right? That's what really what's happening here. So praise God. The Lord bless you and protect you and keep you in his presence every day. And we will see you back next week, Lord willing. And I believe he is. Praise God. And so we belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good night.
Troubled on every side, yet not distressed, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, and not in despair, not in
despair. We have hope. Bible says hope is the anchor for the soul. Hope is going to keep you anchored when everything else seems like it's falling apart. Hey, hope, have hope. Hope is the anchor for your soul. So I'm saying it may not look good at times, but hey, keep on hoping. So you have faith has something to hold on to. Without hope, faith has nothing to work with. Okay, so keep that hope and let that faith work with that hope. And walk in the power that God has for you and keep on believing. If something hasn't happened yet, just because you prayed for it and it hadn't happened doesn't mean it ain't going to happen. So I want to encourage you to keep praying and keep standing in faith and living in expectation. Because God is good. He hasn't forgotten about you. I want you to know that. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he hasn't forgotten your prayers, the righteous prayers, the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So God bless you and appreciate you and love you, and we will see you later, and that is next Friday. Bye-bye now.